Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all that you've done in our lives. And Father, I now ask your blessing and your anointing as we bring the word today, that it would touch hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." I'll read that again to make sure you got it here. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." You know, the other day I was sitting in church listening to the pastors. He was bringing the Sunday morning message. And at some point in this message he was bringing, he used the scripture we just read. And that scripture just really jumped out at me. In fact, I picked up my church bulletin and wrote a note on the side of my bulletin with this scripture reference. And you see, this particular passage in Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17, in particular, deals with us being the sons of God. And verse 16 goes on and says, "And the Spirit itself." Now, I know that there are many who find fault with that translation right there. Most translations read, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, when you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, just something changes in your life. You begin to feel different. And you've seen it in the faces of people who have come down to the altar and they've prayed and they've asked Jesus into their heart, and they get up and they look like a different person almost. I've told you before that I got saved at about the age of 13, and I went down to the altar, and I was raised in church, and I knew a lot about church, and I knew more than a lot of Christians who'd been Christians for years knew. But the day came that I had to go down to that altar, and I had to ask Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior, and make Him Lord of my life, and become a child or a son of God. And I will tell you, I could feel a change in my life. A change took place. I didn't have a lot of heavy sins out there to ask forgiveness of. I didn't have sudden relief from many addictions that folks have. I didn't have any of those things in my life. But yet, I felt that change when I became a child of God. Romans 8:17 goes on to tell us then, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together." Praise the Lord! We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Just think about that. If you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, and you're living for Him, and you're serving God, you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ, and one day the Scripture tells us we will rule and reign with Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's something to get happy about, folks. But one of the key points here that really struck me is, it is those who are led by the Spirit. Led by the Spirit. You know, there's a lot of things out there that try to influence our lives. There's a lot of things that try to get us to go down various paths in life. And a lot of things seem good, and then as you go further into it, you find out, hey, this is not as good a deal as I thought it was. And so there are a lot of paths that we can go down. but we need to follow Jesus Christ and be led by the Spirit of God. Well, what does it mean for us to be led by the Spirit? Well, it means that we have to allow Him to guide us and direct our lives. He will speak to our hearts. He will warn us. He will tell us when something is not right. Now, I realize He may not in an audible voice say, hey, that's not the right thing. But you will feel that check in your spirit, and you will know, hey, this is not right. This is just not right. You know, every human being on planet Earth has this one thing in common. But you think about it a minute. We all have this one thing in common. And that's the fact that we have to make decisions. And I know there are people out there that hate, with a passion almost, to make decisions. Some people just don't want to do that. They want somebody else to do it for them. And sometimes a decision can be something easy, and sometimes it can be agonizing to make that decision. Now, sometimes the easy decision can be as to, you know, whether you're going to have Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola. And other times it can be something as agonizing as whether you're going to pull the plug on that loved one who's in the hospital. And that machine is all that's keeping him alive, or at least giving the semblance of keeping them alive. And that's got to be an agonizing decision. And I know people that have gone through that recently, and I know it. It had to be tough. And that's where we need to be led by the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit begin to speak to our hearts, begin to work in our lives. You know, as I said, sometimes decisions can be something quite simple. And sometimes it can be hard. In my case, one of the hardest decisions I make every day is something that most of you don't even think about. And that's when I'm asked, what do you want to eat? Now think about that a minute. That sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? That's a tough decision for me. What do I want to eat? Well, I've got to explain to you that after I had open heart surgery a few years ago, I lost all desire to eat in many ways. I just don't really feel hungry most of the time. And food as a whole is just not all that appetizing to me. It doesn't sound good. So therefore, it's a tough decision to decide what I want because nothing really sounds all that great to me. And maybe your decisions that you have in life are not like that. It's something else, I'm sure. But there are decisions that you're facing on a daily basis. Decisions that you must make that are going to affect the outcome of your life. Now, I know that I want to talk to you that are married for just a moment. For example, that decision that you made when you ask, if you're the guy, ask that sweet little thing to marry you and be your wife. Or maybe you're the woman and it was that decision you made to say yes. And that decision changed your life for the rest of your life. I don't care, even if you ended up getting a divorce, it still changed your life for the rest of your life. I want you to think about that. That was a decision that was life-changing. And we all face life-changing decisions. Every day we face some decision that can be life-changing. And I know that some decisions are life-threatening even. And some may be just something simple. But we need to allow God's Holy Spirit to guide us in making our decisions. He will help us to make those decisions if we will allow Him to. And that's the key there. And getting the Holy Spirit to help us, or having the Holy Spirit help us in the decision, is we have to allow Him to help us. He's not going to barge in and say, hey, step aside, I'll make this decision for you. It's not going to happen that way. He will guide us. He will direct us. But we have to allow Him to do that in our life. And I thought of some examples maybe, and I remember many years ago, in fact it was over 40 years ago, I began to develop an interest in broadcast ministry. And as I felt God leading me into the area of broadcast ministry, I went out to a pawn shop and I bought a reel-to-reel tape recorder. It was a used one, and really probably not the best of quality, but it was what I could afford at the time. And I took it home, bought some tapes, checked around to find a radio station that would air a program that I could afford to get on. I didn't have a lot of finance, I didn't have a lot of means, I didn't have any sponsors, that was for sure. And finally I found a station, I believe the call letters were XERF, and Ciudad Acuña in Mexico, just across the border from the state of Texas. And at that particular time, they broadcast a lot of Christian programming. And they had a very powerful signal. And in the evening hours, it covered probably more than half of the United States. So we signed up with that station for a program that came on about, I don't know, around 10 o'clock at night, Pacific time. And if I recall correctly, Central time, it was something like about midnight that it came on. And not really the best time slot in the world, but it was a start. So we recorded those programs in my living room, and we did the best we could with what knowledge I had. I mean, basically I knew how to stop and start the tape recorder, and I knew how to stop and start a stopwatch so that I could time the program so that we didn't run over time, or in some cases, not enough time. So we tried that, and we went for about 13 weeks. And I realized, you know, this is not the best thing in the world. What I really need to know, what I really need to do, is learn how to do this right. So I canceled that program and decided to go to school. So I checked around and found out that the local community college offered a program in broadcasting. So I enrolled in broadcasting class at East Los Angeles College and signed up for it. Everyone else in the class, just like me, was there to learn. Most of them were a little bit younger than me. And we began to learn the basics of broadcasting, some of the things that you needed to know. Well, the instructor or professor said to us that there was two ways to get an automatic A in the class. And one of them was to get your broadcast license, which is probably very similar to what those people who have ham radio licenses have, to get that, or to actually get a program aired on the radio. And I thought, man, that's for me. I'll get a program aired on the radio. So I set out with the knowledge that I had gained from attending the class thus far and my previous experience, and I checked around and called a couple of Christian radio stations in the Los Angeles areas and made inquiries as to getting a time slot and how much it would cost and all the other details that go along with it. So the station manager of radio station KFSG, which was at that time one of the premier Christian stations in the area, got back to me and asked me to come in. Well, we sat down and we talked about it, and we made a deal that I would record at their studios, and they would have one of their engineers assist me and help me in doing some of the things that I didn't know how to do. In fact, actually, when we first started, the engineer, whose name was Mel Young, he did all the hard work, and I just taped the program. I did all the speaking parts, and that was it. And we had a 15-minute program that aired on Sunday morning, I think about 8:45 on Sunday morning. But I began to learn. Now, I had made the decision to start this and to carry on with it. And what better way to gain knowledge in how to do this broadcasting than to do it at an actual radio station? Well, the day came that Mel walked back to me and he said, "Go back here now and I'll show you how to run the equipment." And so then I began to learn how to handle the actual broadcast equipment. And learn how to put it together myself so that I didn't actually have to have a second party set in and run the equipment for me while I was doing the program. And so we began to do it that way. Well, as time went on, we continued to air the program, and we began to do it at the station there, and I started recording the programs myself. We eventually moved out into our own studio, which we recorded at. But we had to make that decision to make that first step. I could have sat there and said, well, Lord, I really like to be on radio, but I don't know how to do it. And, you know, unless you drop this knowledge into my head and you provide this equipment to me, then all this stuff that I need, you know, how can I do it? But I had to make a decision to get up and do something about it. And you know, I think that's one thing that may be lacking with a lot of Christians today. We feel we would have a desire to do something for God, but we sit back and we say, well, God, I want to do this for you, but, you know, you got to open up all these doors, you know. Sometimes we have to go knock on the door ourselves. I had to get up and enroll in the college class. I had to call the station manager at the radio station. I had to do all those things. God didn't just miraculously say, have them call me and say, hey, Ken Unger, we heard you're interesting in broadcasting. Why don't you come down and do it at our station? It didn't work that way. Well, God opened the door, and we were on that station for several years, and actually went to a longer time slot in the evenings, and God opened the doors. We were on a second station for a while, and then we had to make a decision. We knew that it was time to make some kind of change, and we decided to cancel the program. Now, one of the things I got to tell you here, one of the things that I asked God for while we were broadcasting in Los Angeles was, I would like an audience of 1 million people. Now, I know that KFSG reached more than 1 million people in its broadcast area at that time. And that's not really an outrageous amount of people for the area. Lord, I'd like to have 1 million listeners. And then we canceled the program. I never had my 1 million listeners, as far as I know, on KFSG. We're sitting there deciding what to do. We're building a studio in my garage, getting things ready. You see, we had to make a decision to take some action there and do something to prepare for the next step, for the next phase that God was leading us into. We had to make that decision. And then one day it happened. I didn't call them. They called me, so to speak. They sent me a letter. Kenneth Unger, we've heard you had a program on KFSG. We're opening a new station in the Caribbean. Would you like to be on it? And I said, yes, I would. So I contacted them back. Yes, I'd like to be on the station. I'd like to give me more information. And so I talked to the man, and I agreed for a program in a time slot that I really didn't like, but I thought, this will get us a start. So we made the decision to go ahead. And I sent in the paperwork and said, we've made this decision. We're going ahead with it. We can't be on your opening date. We can't get things ready in time, but we'll start with your second month of being on the air. And we can have it all ready by then. And he calls me back. Mr. Unger, I can't sell you that time slot. Boy, you talk about heart dropping there for a minute. He said, no. He says, I'm going to sell you my personal time slot, which is prime time on Saturday night. And I thought, praise the Lord, prime time on Saturday night. And guess what? As the station began to gain listeners in the area that it was in, pretty soon they told me, well, we estimate you have over 1 million listeners on Saturday night. God had answered my prayer. I had to make decisions, though, as to which step I was going to take. There were times it looked like it could be hopeless. But God answered the door. God answered my prayer. He moved in a way that allowed us to get there. Well, we went on for a number of years with that program and reaching out to people and ministering and the Caribbean area and other parts of the world as the signal reached out even further than they had anticipated. And then the station changed ownership. And we got a price increase that, quite frankly, we just didn't have the money to do. So, realized the only thing I could do was cancel the program. So, with great sorrow and many tears, I recorded the last program. Sent it off to the station with a letter that, "I'm sorry, but we have to cancel. Play this program as our last program." And they contacted me back. Now, we didn't have the internet back then, so we couldn't do it like we do today. It had to go through the mail. It took a little time. But I got a letter back from them within about 2 weeks that said, "Well, what if we only increase your rate $15 a program?" I said, "Yes, I can handle that. Don't play that last program. Just do a rerun." You see, God worked. We had made a decision to do the best we could do and do whatever we could do to keep the program on the air. And when all looked hopeless, God stepped in. Well, that $15 a month ended up getting us a second time slot on, I believe it was a Wednesday morning, where our program was also heard in parts of Europe then. So that was fantastic. And we'd gotten a whole new audience that Saturday night was not reaching. But because of circumstances and other things that went on, the time came that a decision had to be made again as to whether or not we would stay with the radio station. And that time the decision was made to end that chapter in our broadcasting career and move on to something else. And when we made that final broadcast, it was with peace in our heart and joy in our heart, because we knew we had done what God had called us to do, that we had made the decisions that we had to make. And God was there. He led us. He guided us. He directed us. And I know just last year in 2016, I had to make a decision that is life-changing for me. And even again, it was somewhat hard to accept, but I knew it was what God wanted me to do. And I had said, when this decision time comes, I will feel at peace with God when it comes. I will feel peace about it. And yes, I felt peace when it happened. Was it easy to do? No, it wasn't easy. And sometimes what we do for God, even though we know we are doing the right thing, what He has called us to do, it is not always an easy choice to make. It's not always an easy decision to make. I made a decision to discontinue pastoring a church that I'd pastored for 12 years, and it was part of my life. It was hard, but I felt at peace. And God spoke to me through somebody else a few months later when I was visiting another church, and the pastor looked at me. And he only knew me from some meetings that we'd attended. He looked at me and he said, "You are starting a new chapter in your life." And do I know all of what's going to happen in this new chapter? Absolutely not. But I know that God is behind it. And if I follow God, He will lead me, He will guide me, He will direct me. He will be there. You know, in that period of time, just before we ended with the Caribbean Beacon, we did some video ministry, and we were able to send videotapes to the country of Guyana and some other places and do rallies and other things that God had directed us to do. And God opened many doors, but we had to be willing to make the decision. And then another decision came. We had to give all of this up. God spoke to us to move halfway across the country. It meant selling our home, the home that my wife and I had thought was going to be the one we would live out our days in. We had to sell that home. My wife had to give up the career that she had. And we had to move 2,000 plus miles away from where we lived, because God was starting a new chapter. And sometimes your decisions that you make will open a new chapter in your life. And as God opens that new chapter, you're going to begin to feel at peace with what God is doing in your life. The opening verse we read in Romans 8:14 was, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And if we're led by the Holy Spirit, then God will be with us there to make those decisions, even though they may be difficult. And in just a few days, we'll be facing a new year. One for many carries many uncertainties. We don't know what's going to happen in the world. We know less about what's going to happen in the world, I think, than we have in probably any time in history. We have someone in North Korea who, on a whim, could push a button and potentially destroy a huge portion of mankind. We live with that threat over our heads, something that we haven't lived with in the United States for probably 60 years at this point. So we need the guidance and we need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to help us in these days, especially as we face various decisions in our life. The prophet Joel wrote in Joel chapter 3, verse 14, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And then he went on to write, 15 and 16, "The sun and the moon will be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel." I want you to think about what we just read there. We are seeing things take place that they are saying it's never happened before in history, at least in recorded history of the world. Events in the heavens and on the earth and things that are happening. The earth is shaking. The seas are roaring. There are signs in the heavens. The people in Israel are doing things that were prophesied over 2,000 years ago that were going to take place. They're beginning to happen. Once again, Jerusalem is being recognized as the capital of Israel. And we are seeing God encouraging his people, the children of Israel. But we're seeing also, if we will let him, God encouraging those who are born again Christians, those who have become sons of God because they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. He goes on in verse 17 and says, So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore." Oh, great days are coming ahead, but there are decisions that are going to have to be made between now and then. You know, Joel in chapter 2, verses 28 through 32 said this, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and the remnant whom the Lord shall call." Several hundred years later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter got up and echoed that message and told him, "This is that which was prophesied by Joel." We need to make a decision to call upon the Lord. You know, even still, I believe there's a game show channel on the cable networks. There used to be a lot of game shows, and in these game shows, you had to make a decision. What was the right answer? What was the wrong answer? What was the price of something, whatever it may be? And most of the time, there was a buzzer that was going to sound. And if you didn't make your decision before that buzzer went off, guess what? It didn't matter if you had the right answer. If that buzzer went off, you lost. If you waited to make your decision until after the buzzer went off, you lost. And we have to make our decision to follow Jesus and to accept him as our Lord and Savior before the time is up. Whether that buzzer be death or the rapture of the church, whichever one of those events take place first in your particular life, If you have not made that decision to follow Jesus, it's then too late. It's made for you. Too late. You don't want to have to stand before God and say, "Well, I was going to follow Jesus. I was going to serve you. I was just waiting a little bit longer if you'd have given me a little more time." And it's sorry, but you're too late. You're too late. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "For he says, I heard you in an acceptable time, and I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation." The question today is, what is your decision? Have you made that decision to follow Jesus? Are you still on the fence? Are you still listening to the clock tick as it counts down to when that buzzer is going to go off in your life? Would you make that decision today? Ask Jesus to come into your heart. If you do it, if you ask Him, He'll do it. He'll come in. Jesus, I ask that you'd help those that don't know Jesus to make that decision today to follow you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated. Thank you.